see what's right in front of us, to truly concentrate on what matters. We always have to have our vision to see what's right in front of us. We have to remain focused. It's because a lot of times we get distracted. I do. Y'all might be lucky, I don't know. But I get distracted by a lot of things. If you flip over a couple of pages, stay in Matthew real quick, but I'm going to take you to another example that I want to see in Matthew 14. And we're going to talk about something because one of his disciples lost his focus a little bit too. And it says, it's funny how I thought about things last night when I was putting the final touches on things, and we all get distracted saying that word. Well, what are some things that distract you a lot of times? Some things that distract me are sometimes my health. Sometimes my weight, that takes my focus off Jesus. Sometimes finances, not having enough money, you know, something like that, worried about what to do, how is this going to fold out, you know, it kind of worries you. It's stuff that takes my focus off Jesus Christ is what the problem is, guys. This is what I'm laying out. This is no random order or anything like that. Drama in my life takes my focus off Jesus Christ. It does. The fourth thing that I worry, sometimes I worry too much. I do. Sometimes I worry about my daughters and I worry about them, their safety, and I just want to be able to put them in a circle. Does that make sense? I hope you understand. I hope you do it with your kids too. And it says, another thing that I wonder about what other people think sometimes. That hurts me, and it draws my attention away from Jesus. It truly does. It says, I'll be a favor, tell you when I left my job and what I was doing 4 years ago and I stepped out of the ministry, and a lot of people was like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. What are you thinking? And I said, you know what? I feel so strong about what God's doing in my life that I can't stay here any longer because I'm sick every time I wake up because I'm tired of worrying about it. Does that make sense? I'm tired of putting so much thought into this, like I'm doing something wrong. I need to finally make a decision and make a move in the right direction for Jesus. That's what it boiled down to. And when I left, Tanya told me one time, we were talking and everything, and I was like, but what if? What if this happens? Let me tell you something, guys. If you start off a sentence with what if, you need to throw that to the side. Automatically, amen. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us something very important. Don't flip there. I'm going to for you, and I'm going to read it because the Lord drew me to it last night. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 7 says, cast, that means throw upon, all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Throw every bit of it, every worry you've got, put your focus back on Jesus, okay? Cast it all, throw it off, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing this same kind of sufferings. What? I thought we were the only ones in this church doing that. Apparently, all over the world's doing it too. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to keep your faith right where it's supposed to be. You have to keep your foundation firm. You have to keep your vision focused on what's right in front of you. Amen. Anna, are you ready for the real world, honey? You think? She nods her head yes, but I don't know. I'm still scared. You know? I know, but I glow too. Ooh, what John Lincoln did this morning, that's what I feel. I truly do, because you see it. Yeah, no, put blinders on. Let's just focus right in front of you. We have to always be allowed. 1 Peter says it right in front of us. I told you to turn to Matthew 14. We're going to look at an example of real quick of what it seems when we take our eyes off Jesus. You know, I've given you some examples today, Anna and her school and everything, of things that just, sometimes they kick our tails. Sometimes they literally do, and it makes us, it distracts us. But if we refocus on Jesus Christ, if we talk to him just like our word of the month says, if we just talk to him about what's right in front of us, what we need to see, God provides that way for us. Maybe it's something big. But look at what happens. Jesus walks on the water. I'm in Matthew 14. I'm picking up at 25 is where I'm picking up, okay? So y'all get there with me. Matthew 14, 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." 29 says, "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Peter was truly doing it right there. He had all of his focus, he had all of his faith on Jesus Christ, and he was walking on the water. What an amazing time. You ever feel the Holy Spirit move in your life? It gives you chills a lot of times. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, Larry? It gives you chills. It truly does. It gives it to me when I think about something good, or when we were at the Ark last week and we were looking at that big old boat. Man, that thing's huge. You know, it's way across from one side to the other. And I don't think Kyle could have picked up the front end. I think he might have. I don't know. He's trying to move it, but that thing was so big, and it was so impressive to think that Noah did all that. It's amazing. It truly is. His faith, his focus never left him. That's what we're going to talk about this evening, but it is just such an amazing thing to see. Peter was truly doing it, though. He was right there with Jesus, and he was on the water, and he was walking. But look at how quickly it ended. Now, I don't know how many steps he took. The Bible doesn't tell me. I'm thinking maybe he went 10 feet. Maybe he went 12 feet or 15 feet. Who knows? But he said, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." You know, I have to give Peter all the credit in the world for what he did that day. Because I don't know if I would have had the guts to step out of the boat onto the water in the first place. Now, I imagine he took some ribbon from the other disciples, hands down, when Jesus wasn't around. I'm sure he did. I would have never taken my eyes off Jesus. I would have walked 100 yards. I'd walk back, got back in the boat, got on the other side, walked around again. He took his eyes off Jesus. But he said he saw the wind. He saw the wind. Now, I can hear the wind. You've heard it before? I can feel the wind on my face, but I can't quite say I can see it when I see trees. I think Peter was distracted by waves. Do you reckon? Could it have been the waves? Could it have been everything around him? Now, when we talk about waves in our life, all they did was take his focus off of Jesus, is what it did. That's what we still deal with today. We take our focus off. That's the same thing I've been talking to you about, our vision. We have to stay right in cue. We can't get sidetracked. Hey, I'll chase the rabbit down the hole any day of the week. You know what I'm saying? But we have to stay focused on Jesus Christ. That's what's so important here, and that's what he's saying. The five things I listed to you just a minute ago, wondering about what other people think, being worried, being drama, the finances, health, those different types of things are all waves in our lives. They truly are. Then it just draws our attention off of what we're supposed to be doing in the first place. It's just focusing on Jesus. That's it. We let God handle the rest. Do we not? That's so many times, that's so true, when we just say, instead of just saying it and praying it, actually let him do it. Well, this didn't go right. Well, it doesn't. Not everything does go right in our lives. God's will's done. That's it. We readjust to everything around. We focus. We know God has a plan for each and every one of us. What's so amazing is 1 Peter 5:8, where he says, "Don't give the devil a foothold of any kind." If you start off your sentences with "what if," like I was talking about a second ago, I did that to death to Tanya, because when I was in the process, probably about the last month, I kept going, well, I'm supposed to go to work with your brother, and I'm going to step out and on faith with the church, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get into seminary, and I'm going to do this, and this is all going to happen. I what-ifed myself to death. What if the economy crashes? What if I have a bad day? What if there's not enough money at the end of the month? I what-ifed myself to death. And a lot of times we do that to ourselves. We just what-if ourselves just to death. And we already know 9 times out of 10, after that 3 weeks has gone by, all that worrying or whatever that's distracted us, all those what-ifs different way because Jesus worked it out in the first place. There never was a what-if because he had us the whole time. That's what I see that I want to encourage you to stay. When you think about your faith, when you think about your vision, you stay focused on right what Jesus Christ wants for us. It's amazing. Anna's ready for the real world? I pray she is. I do. I'm scared because there's a lot of different people, and I don't know all those people like I know everybody down the rows. You know, I'm familiar with y'all. I know. I send y'all home with her. Well, most of y'all, but anyway. I'm kidding. But we come to our last thing today. We come to our action is what we come to, and we see it in the Bible where Jesus calls us to each of us to take that action. And there's simple things. I wrote down three. My last point today is going to be in Matthew 28 is where it's going to be at the very end. And I'll make sure I did that right. Yeah, flip over to Matthew 28. And I'll take you to a good one but a favorite one. And that's verse 16. It's Matthew 28. He says, there's three things I want you to consider today. Or here, let me read this first, and then we'll go back to that. The Great Commission, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go, and you make disciples of all the nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The disciples were ready or not. Here it comes. They didn't get the choice to be ready for the real world. They were ready at this point. And it was all taken right in front of them. And everything happened. I've been preparing. A lot of us have been preparing for years. Because we've came up in church, or maybe this is your first time, you're getting prepared as you come every Sunday. Three things to focus on as you start your day ones this week, as you start every day of your life. Spend time talking to God. Don't you dare give that devil a foothold, and don't you dare let him distract you from spending your time with Jesus. We had 32 people at that boat yesterday. That was all because of Jesus Christ. Hands down, Jesus! He did it. He brought every one of those people. There was not a doubt in my mind. I walked down to that water, Brother Alvin. It was all over. We had just gotten back in. I almost had problems cranking my boat. It was horrible. But it finally cranked. Thank you, Jesus. I got him out there. We prayed. I blasted the men off. I got back. I was sweating bullets. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that boat cranked. Because I was scared. And you know one of those ones where you're the last person at the pier? That ain't a good feeling. And John don't have a boat. So I didn't know what we were going to do. It's about where everybody's gone. So, but thank you, Jesus, it cranked. We got back down. He walked up away and he said, give me a minute. I just got something I need to say to God. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done today. It's all for your glory. It's all your honor, Lord. I just thank you for letting me be a part of it. And I said, amen. And I walked back up. It's those little times. You spend time talking to God. Number two thing I'll remind you of, just as he got ready to send out in the Great Commission, bless someone with an unexpected act of kindness. Don't you dare hesitate to do something nice for somebody. Because a lot of times those actions can be so powerful in somebody's life when we just take the time. Phone call, text message, whatever it is, it can be something so small, but it means so much to somebody. Don't ever miss out on those chances. And the third thing, forgive. It says regularly forgiving others unconditionally is one way to remind ourselves of how Jesus gave his life so we could be forgiven too. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to our faith. Let's go back to our vision. Let's go back to our action and what we do each and every day for Jesus Christ. It's a gift that he gives us that we can be his hands and feet in everything we say. There's tough times. There's tough things that go through. A good buddy of mine right now is going through a tough time. I'm going to lift him up as an unspoken to each and every one of y'all. If y'all would just pray for him. But it's those different things in our life when we come back to God. Are we ready for the real world? Are you ready? If you go on God's word, if you go in your Bible, if you're spending time, if you're doing those three things, God's got you right where he wants you. Amen? As we get ready for our hymn of invitation this morning, lesson's going to come and we're going to sing a song. Think about that this morning. Think about your faith. Think about the vision you have for yourself and what you're doing. Not me, not anybody in the church. And think about those action steps that you're taking towards making it right with Jesus Christ or doing something for Jesus Christ. I see so many people, and this church has been awesome to me, and it's been awesome to my family. And I'm so tickled that I get the chance to just get up here in front of y'all, because it truly ignites me. It does, y'all. I get fired up for y'all. I really do. And I don't know if I'd be that way for anybody else. Y'all are my family, and when I come here every Sunday morning and I look at every one of your smiling faces and stuff, it reminds me of how blessed I am. But we each need to remember those things. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, we just love you, and we thank you, God, for everything you do for us, God, for all the blessings you give us. I pray, Lord, that you be with each and everybody this morning, Father God, as we just reach out for you, dear Lord. And that we be your hands and feet, God. We do exactly what you want us to do. Thank you, God, for your word and what it means to each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, forgive us when we fail you, Father God. Help us each to keep our vision, our focus, right on you, Father, and let our actions follow that vision, Father God, that we act. We don't just sit. We act on it, dear God. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, for all that you do. These things I ask in your name. Amen. As Leslie has our closing hymn, if there's anything, the altar's wide open this morning.